blessed Christmas. That's what I like to say. Merry Christmas is a bit old-fashioned for me. I like to speak the blessing of God over God's people. So may you have a very blessed Christmas today. So we gather here this morning to remember the truest meaning of the reason why we celebrate this day. It's often on Christmas Day that we hear the words of our text. We hear the word Emmanuel spoken. I don't think we hear the word Emmanuel nearly enough during the rest of the year, although he is always Emmanuel. So at this time of year, we're normally surrounded by images of little baby Jesus. The nativity scene is everywhere, and baby Jesus is everywhere, but he hasn't been a baby for over 2,000 years. We celebrate, though, however, he's coming into this world as a baby. But it's very important for us to remind the world that he is much more than that. That he is now and always has been Emmanuel. So I'd like us just to pause for a second this morning and ask ourselves this question. Who is Emmanuel? Amen. That is so much more. He's always with us. But he's so much more, sister. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and his teachings this morning, then you'll know that Emmanuel means God with us. As we read in Matthew 1, verse 23, which is actually quoting Isaiah 7, 14. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now Isaiah 7, 14 reads, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us, is God's promise that he will save, bless, and watch over his children. Now, the traditional Christian view of Isaiah 9, verse 6, based on the New Testament, is that the child is the Messiah, a divine person whose birth is supernatural, and so of the same miraculous order or standard as the sign of which is spoken in Isaiah 7:11, where God is speaking to Ahaz, revealing that the virgin shall bear a son and that he will be called Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:11 reads, ask for a sign for yourself from Yahweh your God, make it deep as Sheol, or as high as heaven. God speaking to Ahaz, telling him to choose a sign. I don't want to go into the story. You can go and read for yourself Isaiah 9 and 10 and so forth. But I want to concentrate this morning on the child whose name is Emmanuel. Now, it is the same child in Isaiah 7:14 as in Isaiah 9 verse 6, who has the titles of God. Now, it's very important for us to establish that the sign that is spoken of in Isaiah, the book Isaiah, do we know what the name Isaiah actually means? The Lord is salvation. Isn't that beautiful? And this prophecy takes place approximately 739 BC and refers to Jesus Christ. It shows us the accuracy and the continuity of Scripture. And as we see in Micah 5, verse 2, the prophet Micah foretells that the one who will go forth from God will come from Bethlehem. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is called God with us three times. It's at the beginning, at the middle, and at the very end. Every time, It is a very important and significant moment. So the first time we hear that Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us, we hear that he came to save his people from their sins in Matthew 1:21. In the middle of the book, we hear that Jesus is Emmanuel so that he can clean up his church. You know the scripture. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them, Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 20. This scripture is misquoted so many times when people pray. There's only two or three have rocked up to the prayer meeting. Lord, although we're only two or three, we know that your word says you are always here. He's Emmanuel. He is always here anyway. He's with us anyway. When Jesus says that, it is in relation to church discipline, to keep his church pure. And it goes back to Leviticus. And I've preached on this before. It's not meaning that, it's not talking about the number. Me and Paul have a disagreement. I go to him. I'm the one in the wrong. Or he comes to me. He says, brother, there's an issue. Scripture says, if I repent, he's gained a brother. There's two of us. If I don't want to repent, he goes and he gets either Justin or he gets Neil and they come back. How many are there now? If there's one, me and him and one more. Three. Where two or three ago, it talks about the purification of the church. All right? And Emmanuel is there. He is even in that situation. And at the end of Matthew, Jesus is called Emmanuel to help the church grow. Just before he went to heaven, Jesus told his followers to go out into the world and make, not converts, no? What's the difference between disciples and converts? Converts is a numbers game. Discipleship is a relationship. Yeah, we're not just made to go out there and get many bums on seats. That's not what it's about. Those who we share the gospel with, we should walk with them. Disciple them. Yeah? Jesus is Emmanuel. And read that in Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus is Emmanuel so that the church has the power to make disciples. Discipleship is this. Well, this is what it's not. I want to introduce you to Jesus. Now I've introduced you to him. Good luck. Discipleship is, can I introduce you to Jesus, the one who changed my life, and I'm going to walk with you until you know him as well as I do. And I'm still going to walk with you then. That's discipleship. How comforting is it to know that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us, we who are his church. And if you're alone today, and your heart's broken, know that Jesus is Emmanuel. Although it's a tough time at Christmas for many people, if you are a believer, you're not alone. Jesus came in the flesh to save his people, and he himself makes it clear to Peter that God the Father has shown Peter, he's shown his disciples who Jesus is. And he asks them in Matthew 16:15, but who do you say I am? And they answer him and they say that you are Jesus. You are the Son of the living God. Now, when we look at the Old Testament, we see that Jesus has been Emmanuel from the very beginning in Genesis 3. John 1:18 says this. No one has seen God at any time, speaking about the Father. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. He's talking about Jesus. I've preached on this before. Jesus, in Hebrews, it says that he is the exact representation of the Father, is he not? So we know that the Father has never entered into creation. The only person of the Trinity who has entered into creation before the Holy Spirit was the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. So in the Garden of Eden, It is Jesus who walks with Adam and Eve, the second person of the Trinity. Oh, you say, that can't be right. Yes, it is right, because Scripture teaches us what happens to human beings when we see God in His glory. What happens to us? We die. We can't handle it. Yeah? We cannot. And so we also see in the New Testament, Jesus, being the exact representation of the Father, is the go-between. Because what does Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the filter. Because if God the Father came here today, we would all be dead. Because of His glory and His holiness. You see? So it's important that Jesus is Emmanuel, the representation of God. God with us at all times. Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus is speaking about Jesus, who is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the power, by the word of His power, who, having accomplished cleansing for sin, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I wholeheartedly have to agree with John Piper when he says, if you fail to see Jesus in the Old Testament, you fail to see the magnitude of Christ. The Old Testament is already, in its own context and on its own terms, Christian scripture. It is already a proclamation of the Lord as Messiah. See, even when the Jews had the Tanakh, the Old Testament, Christ was already foretold then. Jesus unites the Bible. Jesus isn't sitting in heaven waiting for the New Testament to come. And when the New Testament comes, the Father said, now's your time. He says, thank you, I've been waiting. That's not what happens. He's part of the Trinity. Throughout the Old Testament, He is the only one who can speak on behalf of God Most High. He moves steadily toward becoming a person. Jesus is the King. He has always been. It is surprising how clear the New Testament authors are about Jesus' presence in the Old Testament. The I Am in whom Abraham rejoiced was Jesus in John 8:56-58. The Lord who motivated Moses was Christ, Hebrews 11:26. The Redeemer who brought them out of Egypt was Jesus, Jude 5. The rock in the wilderness was Christ, 1 Corinthians 10:4. The King of Isaiah's temple vision was the Son, John 12:40-41. One of my favorite portions of Scripture. In the year, Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, what does Isaiah say? I saw the Lord, and the train and His train filled the temple. He sees Christ, sees the throne. Jesus is Emmanuel today, just as He's always been. Jesus is not just with us now, but He is in Genesis 1:1, Elohim, God, judge and creator. In Genesis 15:2, He is Adonai, Lord and Master. In Joshua 5:14, He is the captain of the hosts of the Lord. In Judges 6:24, He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. In Psalm 19:14, He is my rock and my redeemer. In Psalm 23:3, He is my restorer. In Psalm 62:7, He is my rock and my strength. In Proverbs 17:17, He is the friend that loves at all times. In Proverbs 18:24, He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Song of Solomon 2:1, He is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. In Isaiah 6:3, He is holy, holy, holy. In Isaiah 7:14, He is Emmanuel. In Isaiah 8:4, He is a sanctuary. In Isaiah 9:6, He is a son given, the mighty God. In Isaiah 59:20, He is the Redeemer. In Jeremiah 50:6, He is my resting place. In Daniel 9:25, He is the Messiah. In Joel 3:12-16, He is the hope of God's people. In Malachi 3:2, he's the refiner's fire. And in Malachi 4:2, he is the son of righteousness. Jesus didn't become God at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. But Scripture shows us that he has always been God. From eternity past, and he will be God to eternity future. Forever and ever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are so thankful for your Son. Thankful that Jesus came to earth, took on a second nature, became the Christ, died on the cross for our sins, satisfied your wrath so that we might stand blameless before you. Not because of our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thank you that Scripture speaks of you being with us throughout all of history, all of human history. We thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy, Lord. We worship you and give praise to you on this beautiful day when we see and we remind ourselves that you came into this earth on this day to come and be our Redeemer. We worship you for that. And we are thankful, not just today, but we will be thankful for all eternity. For those of us who know you, Lord. Because your word says there is only one name by which man can be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. We thank you for this, Lord. Amen. Amen.